Hello, I'm Joel Collard and I'm coming to you today from the SUNY Oswego campus. In my time here at SUNY Oswego, I'm studying journalism, and recently the media has received criticism from certain individuals. When I hear this criticism, it makes me question, what is the state of the media, and where will it go from here? Since the founding of this country, informing the public has been the backbone of our society, and this has come via the media. In the 2016 election year, the media took many shots for getting the race wrong as well as for creating fake news. Many media outlets did not think Donald Trump had much of a chance to win on November 7th, and were proven wrong on November 8th. Accuracy is one of the pillars of journalism, so when the media is wrong, it raises questions in society. This has been paired recently with the President of the United States calling out the media for faults and underreporting, as well as for creating quote-unquote fake news. In order to get an accurate gauge for the perception of media, I've talked to student journalists on this campus. In media coverage, there are organizations that have political motives which can shape how they cover certain stories or the news as a whole. Student journalist Shenandoah Briere says that all media outlets need to consider the influence of bias.
Just from working in a paper alone, I know that we debated on whether or not we would choose a side in this year's election, and it was a very highly talked about debate that we had among the members of our board within the office. And I think one of the biggest things we talked about was the fact that if we did support one candidate over the other, then that means we not only are we choosing a side, but we're choosing not to continue to talk about that candidate in a bad light.
As the opinion editor of the student-run newspaper, the Oswegonian, Breer did not want the paper to endorse a candidate for the purpose of staying balanced in appearance and in actuality. After all, in a section like opinion, everyone's voice should be heard.
Especially coming for someone who's the opinion editor, that wouldn't have been good, because while we did have a lot of things that, were not very pro-Trump like, if someone ever came to me and said they wanted to do an article about something Hillary Clinton had done and that they weren't for her, I would be okay with printing it so long as it, met the standards that the paper had.
In the 2016 election cycle, the vision was clear within media organizations. That brings up two questions. What is the role of the media during election cycles, and how does the media affect the results of the election or the public entirely? The news editor for the Oswegonian, Maria Percozzi, shared her thoughts with me on the media coverage for the 2016 election.
I think that the media did an okay job covering the election. A lot of the news sources were favoring one candidate over the other, and it was clearly that they were doing it. Like the New York Times, you'd go on their page and the entire front would be about bashing Trump. So you could tell that they weren't pro-Clinton, but that they were definitely anti-Trump. I think that some news sources need to do a better job of not taking a stance at all and making sure that each candidate has an equal presence in the media. And it should be like balanced between positives and negatives.
2016 election, there's a clear divide between conservative and liberal views and the views of each candidate. But no matter how a story is framed, the one thing that should be kept consistent is that only the facts should be presented.
But I think that media should have taken a step back in the sense of they needed to make sure before everything was reported that their facts were right. And granted, a lot of it was coming from Trump and Clinton themselves about the opposing candidate. But I think that part of it is that people would be sharing things all over Facebook that they didn't know what was accurate and what wasn't.
In Breer's opinion, the best way to establish credibility is to just stick to the fundamental principles of reporting.
With any article you're gonna do, you're gonna wanna. The way you focus something is you have a strong lead. You come in, you tell people, this is what we're gonna talk about. Then you go into the background. And I think the background is where you establish yourself not only as someone who knows what's going on, so you become more trusted as an entity, but at the same time, you allow the readers to understand what you're gonna continue on to have in future conversations. So I think in a way, we need to, let people know like what each party stands for, what each of the things they're talking about is, and break it down so that people understand that, because not everybody's going to understand, you know, huge, gigantic words, and I definitely didn't when the election was happening. Some of the things they talked about flew right over my head. So I think there is a little bit of a responsibility on the media, but at the same time, there's a responsibility on the people as well, because the media is made up of the same people who make up our country every single day. They're the same people who have the same rights to vote, and they just have a job in which they have more access, or they have more knowledge to go and do research. And I think there's something to be said to hold the people who are voting just as accountable as the media.
A fact error is a nightmare for a journalist, but it does happen from time to time, as we are all human beings. Even though it's understandable, it can seriously damage the credibility of a news organization or a specific journalist. In today's society of social media, these fact errors are becoming more common. Broadcast major Tyler Moen has seen the effect social media has had on media as a whole and society.
Over like Twitter and, you know, these blog posts that like these huge broadcasting or political broadcasters, you know, have opinions on are getting the attention because, you know, they don't have somebody like censoring saying, no, that's wrong. I mean, there's been numerous times where Donald Trump has been, I think I watched something where they did a fact check and he was wrong so many times in a debate, but then he comes out and says that these news sources are fake. So it's, I think you have to take everything with a grain of salt, and you gotta make sure it is a credible source. And the best way I'd say that is just make sure that it's credible. I said the best way to do that is just fact check and do your research. It's really the only way, because no matter what, no, every type of medium, there's going to be some sort of spin on it based on their views. There's going to be some sort of bias, you know, opinion that they feel they need to change or they need to talk about and or push through their words on paper, on Twitter, or even on a live broadcast.
All three of the students I spoke to said that in order to get accurate news, you should use many sources and also always fact check.
I think it is incredibly important. People need to be educated on things all over every social media, all over every news source. People need to be educated to know what is exactly fake news and sources that they can trust. It's important that for anything in government that people are educated on what they should believe and what they shouldn't.
As Pericosi says, it's getting more and more important to fact check and be on top of what is going on in the world, not just to rely on what you might see on Facebook or Twitter.
Whether it was CNN, whether it was Fox, whether it was Twitter, whether it was Facebook, no matter what, people seem to form their own opinion on it based on what they saw on social media, what they saw through these mediums. And I think that's why this nation is so divided and polarized, as opposed to, because, you know, this is really the first election we've had where, you know, Twitter has been a huge thing. It's the first, I mean, it was there, it was prevalent when Obama ran and won, but it wasn't as big as it is today. There's a lot more subscribers now, and when you can get information with the, you know, by the snap of a finger, it's kind of scary what can be put out there.
Although in some ways it is great that information is being released every single second in our news cycle, it is not great when there are certain people out there who are getting paid to write fake stories. And because anything can happen so quickly on social media, these stories can spread like wildfire.
It's incredibly frustrating because student journalists, even if you've just gotten out of college, our goal is to get a job, a good job. And even with the code of ethics, it's seek the truth and report it. Like, being a journalist, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. And to get paid to make up fake news that people can just circulate is completely ridiculous, and it should not even be a thing.
Pericosi, like many young journalists, fears what is to come when she goes into her profession because of the people who are creating fake news. Although not everybody in the public will always trust the media, it is always still our job to convey the best information possible. Tyler Mohn, in his experience of Vote Oswego, saw the effect media has on voters.
A lot of kids, because it's so in your face, I noticed, because we registered a lot of people. Like, we were nonpartisan. So demand if you're Republican, you know, liberal, you know, independent, you know, any, it was any party, and we couldn't talk about it. We automatically failed the class had we talked in favor of either party. And what I noticed is a lot of people were so turned off by politics, because you look at the media, it's everywhere. CNN literally covers politics just about 24/7. If there's no news stories, they're talking about what Trump did, what he did that day, like what he's not doing, what's going on with, you know, what's the state of the country. And I think it gets blown out of proportion. But then again, like I said, it's all ratings. And like, these kids literally don't want to even register to vote, because they don't care, because it's so in their face that they're almost forced. Like, they're forced to look at this and say, I want to vote for her because my beliefs are there with her. And it sucks, because it literally, we could change the way the country is, but if people don't turn out to vote or don't even want to put the effort in, there's no way of doing that. And like I said, that's where the whole media perspective comes in. It's just, it's changed so much. The game has changed so much in just the last 10 years.
At the end of the day, after all the stories are published and all the broadcasts have been run, the job of the media is to educate the public. The media may not always be perfect, but there are definitely ways that can be improved. And from the student journalists I've spoke to, I would say that Pericosi summed it up best.
Diversity, because everybody comes from different backgrounds, everybody has different views, and I think in a newsroom, having a diverse newsroom would benefit how your paper comes out and how balanced you make it. That people need to check their sources and not just trust a headline and what they see on social media pages and everything.
Lastly, I would like to give a special thanks to Shenandoah Breer, Maria Pericosi, and Tyler Mohn for giving us insight into the world of media and where it moves from here.